preach tonight. I hate I have to preach under circumstances, but I do appreciate Pastor allowing me to preach again. And he called me whatever day it was and said, you know, he said, I'm just going to stay here. His dad needed him. I understand that. And the church, I understand that, I told him. And he said, go ahead and preach. And so I said, you sure you don't want somebody else? And I don't want to be, you know, I said that, not really meaning it. You know, Pastor said, no, you go ahead. He said, I can't think about anything else right now, so just go ahead. So I was like, well, all right, if I have to, you know. So I preached this morning, too, so my voice may give out here in a little bit. If it does, then we'll pray and be dismissed, but it'll be all right. So some of y'all pray that way, all right. But it's funny because when I was preaching today, I'd do fine for a little while, and then it'd come back around. But I actually kind of enjoyed it. I've always wanted to have that raspy voice, you know, preacher voice. And so I've only got it for like a week, so I'll use it while I got it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's right before 2 Thessalonians. And we'll look at the first 12 verses to start with, and then we're going to look at the entire chapter and talk about how to live, How are we as Christians to live? There's 2 points tonight in these 18 verses here, and we'll look at verses 1 through 12 to see our first point tonight. It says, furthermore, then we beseech you, beg you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so would ye abound more and more. If you highlight in your Bible, underline that, more and more is going to come back to play here in a little bit. You're going to see it again. But he says, verse 2, he says, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord, for this is the will of God. You know, you ever thought about that? Lord, I'd like to know what your will is. You know, what is your will, Lord? And he gives us a lot of things in the Bible that are his will. Notice what he says, even your sanctification. Here it is. He says that ye should abstain from fornication. The verse does not end there. He says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. That would be the will of God. If you'd learn, I would learn how to possess our vessel in righteousness or in sanctification and in honor. We don't see a lot of honor anymore today, do we? And if we can't even give honor to our military, we can't give honor to our preachers anymore. We've lost honor. We don't honor our elderly anymore. Amen. We don't honor women anymore. Our country used to, but we've seen we've lost that. Why? Because it's an individual thing. We've lost it individually, morally. Verse 5 says, not in the lust of concupiscence, that's lust upon lust, but he says that, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother. Means go beyond, reach across, to go beyond his brother, overreach him. It says, in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but despiseth God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase, here it is again, more and more. He said, y'all, I can see y'all have brotherly love, but you can always grow. By the way, none of us reach perfection. We can always go a little further in our Christian life. Verse 11, and that you study to be quiet, and we'll talk about what that is here in a little bit, to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. So after we pray, we'll look at how to live tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for your blessings. And Lord, certainly you've been so good to us this day to allow us to open up your word and expound upon it. And Father, I pray, God, as I yield myself to you, to your will, to the Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd have liberty here tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit would have liberty. And I pray that you speak to our hearts. And God, as you speak to our hearts, that we would act upon that which you lay upon our heart. And God, that we'd be not hearers only, but doers of your word. Lord, God, show us the way we are to live. And Lord, we are going to praise you and thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Water break. Need a little squirt bottle like we have out there at football field. How to live. Well, there's 2 points in here. Verses 1 through 12 show us, number one, to live right. Very simple, to live right. By the way, as a Christian, it is our duty to live a right life. We are to live a life that exemplifies the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to live a life that allows the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine through our lives. As Brother Latta was talking about Sunday night, we ought to be a conduit of blessing. But we ought to also be a conduit of light for the world to see the Lord Jesus in our life and through our life. Well, there's 3 things under live right that I think that will help us to live right. And it shows us this in the Scripture. So go back, if you will, and notice what he says in verse 3. Verse 3, he says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." So under live right, we're to live right. That's how we are to live as Christians. But how do we do that? A, underneath that is by abstaining. There's sometimes in our Christian life that we have to abstain from some things. If you go over one chapter, it says abstain from all appearances of evil there in chapter 5, verse 22, that we are to abstain from all appearances of evil. If you want to live right in the sight of God, you have to stay away from some things. I don't like being around people that push the envelope. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I want to be far away. We're to be separated from this world. We're called out to... Notice what he says in verse 4. He says to know how that you should possess your vessel in... what's the next word? Sanctification. That means to be set apart. We're to be set apart for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we going to do that if we're not abstaining from the things of the world? Now, I realize we live in the world. We're going to see the things of the world. You can't pass a billboard anymore without seeing the things of the world. You realize it's all around us, but I'm saying that we should not pursue those things. We should abstain from those things. If you want to live right in this century, if you want to live right in this world today, there's some things you have to abstain from. I know there's people that, when you vote, they're like, I abstain. In other words, I don't want to be a part of it. Sometimes that's the way we ought to vote. Not in church, but when the devil's throwing things at us, nope, I'm abstaining from that. I want to stay away from that. I don't want to be a part of that. There was many times as a teenager, I'm glad I abstained. Stayed away from the crowd I was hanging out with. Only took one ride in the back of a police car. And that was when my stepdad was driving. And we were playing around. That was the only time Michael Wiggins ever been in the back of a police car. And I'll tell you, I'm very thankful for that, because I had some friends that didn't do so well. And they went places they shouldn't have went. They did things. Now, was I perfect? No. I was just smart enough not to get caught. Amen. There wasn't all times I abstained from things. There were just sometimes I was smarter than they were. And but, you know, what you think about in life is that if we're going to live the Christian life, if we're going to live right, we're going to have to abstain from some things. Number two, not only to live right, are we going to have to do some abstaining. Matter of fact, I meant to give you this one. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I love this voice. 1 Peter chapter 2. I preached on the radio one time. It's been many years ago. It was in Alabama. I preached on the radio. And it was one of those broadcast things. And I had a 30-minute slot. And I preached on there. And went back and listened to it. I was like, oh. And I hadn't listened to myself since. It's bad. So notice, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims," notice what he says, "abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." There's always going to be a war in our bodies. Our spirit and our flesh are going to war against each other. And how we win that war is, number one, we feed the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And we've given ourselves over as a living sacrifice. But it also goes beyond that and saying, I'm going to abstain from some things in my life. Number or B underneath, live right. How to live right? There needs to be some abstaining. Number two, there needs to be some obtaining. There's some things you have to obtain in your life. Now notice what he says in verse 7. In verse 7, he says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but what? Unto holiness." God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We should obtain some maturity in our life. I realize we're not going to be complete and perfect until we get to heaven. I realize that. I realize we're never going to reach perfection in our life. But I'm telling you, we ought to set some goals in our life and obtain those goals by the Lord Jesus Christ's help and by His Word and by His Spirit. I want to be more mature next year than I am this year. And I hope as a child of God, for you to live right, you've got to obtain some things. You've got to obtain some things from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God, some direction, and allow God to work in your life to obtain those goals. Notice what he said again in verse 1. He said that we should abound, what? More and more. Verse 10, he says, that you increase more and more. In other words, as the book of Hebrews tells, I believe it's chapter 6, verse 12, he says that we go all to perfection. What does that mean? That means I was a babe in Christ when I got saved, and I'm maturing every day of my life. There's some people, trust me, have been saved a long time, still sucking a bottle. It's time to get rid of that bottle and get some meat in there. Even Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I got older, he said, then he desired that not just the milk of the Word, but the meat of the Word. And we should dive in and get the Word of God and obtain some things in our life. Obtain some things, obtain some holiness in our life. We've allowed the holiness crowd to take that word away from us. He just said holiness. Is he going to speak in tongues next? Does he have a tambourine in his pocket? Actually, I do have a tambourine in my office that the preacher's wife gave to me. I'm going to use it for choir. It lights up too. It's a kid one. It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to use it for the football game Friday night. But we got to do some obtaining. Let me give you a C underneath living right. We got to do some maintaining. You know, sometimes it's about maintaining some things in our life. And I believe the number one thing as a Christian to live right, and we see some things in verse 11 and 12, we see it here. Notice what he says, that you study to be quiet. Now you say, whoa, wait a minute. Do you know who I am? It's not talking about the quiet. Here's what quiet means. It means to be peaceable, not giving to offense, and disorder or trouble. In other words, Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica, he's saying, look, that you need to study that you don't quarrel with others, that you don't cause a disruption and disorder in the church, that you learn to live, as the Bible says, if all possible, live peaceable with all men. I'm glad he put that if all possible in there, by the way. Amen. Try. We should study. We should take time to think about how we cannot be offensive to people and be hateful to people, but teach them to love. And how we do that, we obtain that by maintaining. Here it is. Keep going. He says, and to do your own business. In other words, keep your nose out of everybody else's business and do yours. Now notice what he says, and to work with your own hands. The people who complain the most are the people who do the least. Hallelujah. Children of Israel, cross over the Red Sea. Woohoo! We're out of Egypt. We're out of bondage. Moses is like, man, this is going to be great. These people are going to be thankful for what God is doing. Moses, we're thirsty. Moses, the water is bitter. Moses, we're hungry. Moses, we wish to God we were back in Egypt eating all the pomegranates and everything back there. They better be glad I wasn't Moses. I say, God, I'm coming back to the Red Sea, parted again. I'm putting them back over there. You know? You know what? How about y'all just start swimming? I'm going to chase y'all now. But I'm glad I'm not God. But notice what happens here. He says that in verse 12, he says that you may walk honestly. Here's some things that we got to maintain. That we walk honestly toward them that are without. Notice this. And that you may have lack of nothing. Here it is. Here's what we must maintain in our life. Our testimony. By the way, one of the hardest things to ever get back in your life is your testimony. There's been some times it's been right on the tip of my tongue to lose my testimony. You have to be careful, don't you? By the way, God's always watching. And just like Brother Latta preached Sunday night, we must always live in the presence of God and know that He's watching us, just as Joseph knew that God was watching him. There's some things that we have to abstain from. There's some things we have to obtain. There's some things that we have to maintain. I believe that's our testimony. We must maintain our testimony because why? As verse 12 says, there's others that we are to live honestly and walk honestly toward them. Notice what he said, toward them. Toward them. We're to be on the offense, that the gates of hell should not prevail against us. We're on the offense, my friends. We shouldn't live a defensive life as a Christian. We should live an offensive life. We got to go out there and tell them. They're not going to just all come in here and go, there's 2,000 at church tonight. Could you tell us how to be saved? It's probably not going to happen. We got to go tell them. We got to go walk toward them. And what are they going to see? They're going to see our testimony. They're going to see our life and see how God is in our life and through our life. Now look at the last thing tonight. The second part of this is verses 13 through 18. We see first part, how to live right. Number two, we see how to live ready. You live right, you'll live ready. Ready for what? You know what this chapter is about. Notice what it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I'm glad we got hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, I like this, shall descend from heaven. God's not sending somebody to do his job for him. He's coming himself. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured out of here together with him in the clouds to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We got to live ready. Why? Because he could come tonight. We could be the next song we sing could be the hallelujah chorus in heaven. Amen. The very next breath that I take could be. And by the way, God said that he gives a crown of righteousness to them that love his appearing. That means those who are standing ready looking for Jesus to come again. Know about you, but the more I look at the news, more I read things, I'm ready. I'm ready. Even so, come Lord Jesus, as John said at the end of the book of Revelation. Well, how do you live ready? Well, I believe there's three things underneath here. Number one, or A underneath this, we see that we're hopeful. Notice what he says in verse 13. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or dead in Christ, that you sorrow not. Now notice this, even as others which have what? No hope. Who are those people? Those are the people that are in verse 12 that are without. What are they without? Well, they're without Christ. When you're without Christ, you don't have no hope. But can I just encourage you tonight, church, that if you're saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, guess what? You are hopeful. Hopeful in what? That Jesus is coming again. He's going to take us out of this world and give us a new body and give us a new home in heaven, and we're going to be with Him for eternity. I'm living ready because I'm living hopefully. I'm living in hope, not in the poop. Amen. He can go to White House, the dark house, whatever house he wants to go to, the side house, the bout house. But I'm telling you what, unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not getting out of this world. You're not getting out underneath the wrath of God. You've got to go through the blood of Jesus Christ. I live a hopeful night. You know what I do when I lay my head on my pillow at night? Well, first of all, I think of all the things I did all day. But you know what I don't think about? Well, I wonder if God comes tonight, if I'm going. I lay my head down with assurance. What about you? If you spend a lot of time doubting your salvation, you need to check up on that. You shouldn't spend all the days of your life saying, oh, I wonder. Hey, listen, I was raised in the Assembly of God Church. They didn't lay their head on their pillow at night thinking, well, I got this whooped tonight. Nope, they're thinking, did I sin big enough today to lose my salvation? I'll tell you what, I'm living a hopeful life. What is that? I'm ready. If Jesus was to come tonight, and that'd be fine with me, I'm ready. I ain't got no roots here. Amen. I ain't got no suction cups on my shoes. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Now notice the second thing tonight underneath this. Live ready. We live hopefully, but also number A underneath that, we live joyfully. Hello? If you got hope, you should have joy. You should have joy in your life. Look at verse 16. He says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven." You know what that means? That's going to be a personal return of Jesus Christ. We're going to see the Savior face to face. That gives me a little joy inside. I'm joyful. By the way, you live ready, you'll live a joyful life. That doesn't mean every day of your life you're going to get up, put your clothes on, go, I'm happy, I'm going to work. You know, like Mr. Rogers. You know, won't you be my neighbor? You know, I mean, I'm not talking about that. There's going to be days that you're going to face trials and tribulations and storms and all things are going to break loose in your life. But I tell you what, you can just keep going through it. You can just keep going. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'll just keep going through these things and I'll just keep hanging on to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just keep going and keep going and keep going. As Pastor always says, I'll just keep plodding along. I never will forget, my grandfather had an old tractor one time, and that thing had one gear in it. It was called the plodding gear. You didn't get out on the highway on that thing. It was one of those that had the wheels close together on the front. It was an old Ford tractor. And I remember I got on that thing one time, and the transmission was messed up in it, so it only had first gear. Out there plowing the field, one gear. It would take you all day to do a half an acre. But Grandpa could trust me on that tractor. Why? Because it didn't go fast enough to hurt anything. You could jump off of it and get in front of it and move what was in front of it and then hop back on it and not even hit it. But you know what, that old tractor? My grandfather bought other tractors. He was, you know, I mean, anybody knows my grandfather. Well, he'd always have this size tractor, this tractor, this thing, and he'd have six tillers out there. And you know what, that old tractor, it just kept going. It just kept going until one day he got the transmission fixed and I learned how to do a wheelie on that thing. I thought it was still a slow. You know, one day I put her in high gear and he said, "I got it fixed." And boy, I reared it. That was fun. That was the end of my tractor driving for that year. But I'm telling you, we just keep plodding along. We keep going. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not that you're going to wake up every day and go, "Woo-hoo, I'm happy. I'm so happy and here's the reason why." No. There's a death in the family. Not that happy. My finances are not that good. I'm not happy. But I'm hopeful and I'm joyful. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. The last thing tonight is we're to be watchful. If you want to live ready, you got to be watchful. I tell this story all the time, but I'll tell it again because it's the only one I got. We used to live in over what's called Walnut Hill, Florida. And we lived in the back of a soybean and cotton field. So in front of our house was about, 100 acres of cotton, and they plant soybeans too. So we lived behind there. We had a long driveway that went to a dirt road. The dirt road went out, and it went out to the main highway. I loved that because during the summer, Mama would leave, go to work out that road. But the joyful thing for me was it would take her about 3 minutes to make that little thing to come in. I was watchful. I watched for her. And I remember those 12 things she told me to get done. And anybody knows me, I was always in the woods doing something, building tree houses, shooting something. I mean, that's just who I was. I was not an indoor person. And so I would be out in the woods and building stuff, and I would look down, here comes Mom. I know she got off at 5 o'clock, took her about 30 minutes to get home. So I start watching for her. Here she come. And boy, I'm getting stuff done. I'm looking out that kitchen window. Our kitchen window was looked right out at the road. And boy, I'm throwing dishes in there. You know how good we wash dishes, right? You don't want to, that's why you use paper plates. Go, you wash it off, you know. You're trying to, why? Because you know she's coming. But you know what the Bible says in verse 1? It says of chapter 5, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh what? As a thief in the night." He's not going to tell you when He's coming, so you got to be watchful. There were some days in my life, as a teenager, I'd look out that window and, Mama's already pulled in. I forgot to be watchful. And the house wasn't ready. Oh, the yard wasn't ready and the trash wasn't taken out. It was too late. Mom had already got out of the car. She's coming in the garage. I don't have time to get things ready. So as a Christian or as a lost person, you need to be watchful and say, you know what? I want to get saved. First, as a Christian, you got to be watchful. You got to, because what's going to happen? One day you're going to be gone. Notice what he says, if you will, again in chapter 5. He says, notice if we all try to skip down some of this. Look at verse 6. He says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That word sober just simply means to be sober-minded, single-minded, thinking on Christ. Be sober-minded. Well, can I say to you tonight that as a Christian, if you want to be ready, you're to be watchful. Because he said a crown of righteousness is the one, the crown that he's going to give to those that love his appearing. You know what that means? The ones who are watching for his appearing. You know what? Jesus didn't come this morning, did he? If we did, we're all in trouble. He didn't come. I'll tell you why. Because I'm still here. And you're still here. But I'm telling you what, I'm looking for him tonight. Maybe he'll come whenever I get on 35 in the morning. And I'll just let my car go. Sorry about the Ford. Just let it go. I'm ready to go. Why? Because I'm watching. You know when I've realized in my life when I don't watch? It's when I let sin in my life. When I let selfishness take over in my life. We ought to, as Christians, we ought to be hopeful, joyful, and watchful. Well, simple things tonight. Be right and be ready. Live right, live ready. I'm ready. Me and Brother John's out there coaching the kids today, and I believe Brother John would say amen to this, is that I would give anything to put pads on and put me in the game. I want to hit somebody. That's just every man's desire. You know, just put me in there. You know, me and Brother John say it all the time, I'm ready to go in. Well, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. If the Lord was to say, Michael Wiggins, I need you to do this, Lord, put me in. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. Put me in, Lord. I'm ready to go. Hey, the Lord says, hey, I need somebody to go to mission field. Y'all say, Lord, I'm ready. Whatever he, live right, live ready. Live ready for his coming, but also live ready for his will. Lord may come to you and say, I need you to be a Sunday school teacher. Whoa, wait a minute, Lord. You called the wrong number. No, live ready. Lord, I'm ready. I've been studying. I'm ready. I've already got 122 lessons ready. I've been studying. I'm ready. I like that. I like when we call guys in and we say, hey, get in the game. And they're out there. There's other times we, come on, get in here. What? I don't know what we're doing. Have you not been at practice? Well, I don't know. What are we doing? Like, Brother John, this is what I'm talking about. You're not ready. You're not living ready. You know, that's why we practice. That's why we rehearse these things. You to be ready. When I say, so-and-so, get in the game, pew, I'm ready. We have some guys show up without all their equipment on. Not ready. Hey, listen. Live with the armor of God on. Live right. Live ready. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we do desire to live right. And Lord, tonight we desire to live ready. Lord, thank you that you have given us some guidelines in your word how to live. And Lord, I believe tonight if we'd all get a hold of this chapter, and Lord, chapter 5, and Lord, we'd live right, live ready. God, how it would change our church, change our community, change our world. Lord, help us all to get a grasp on this tonight. Maybe there's some here that are not living right. Maybe there's some not living ready. Lord, certainly tonight, in all of our lives, we can all increase the more and more. Lord, help us to mature. God, help us to go on to perfection. Lord, help us to be better Christians now than we were yesterday, last year. God, help us to be better Christians tomorrow than we were today. God, work in our heart, work in our church tonight. We certainly love you and thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'll sing hymn 153, I Surrender All. If you need to come tonight, why don't you come? Just lay everything at the altar. And as Miss Christie plays and as we think about this song, I Surrender All, that's what it means. I Surrender All. Lord, not part of me, but all of me. So as we sing, oh.